Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Taking Your Next Step podcast from Collegians for Christ. Through each episode, we will journey together focusing on knowing what you believe and why you believe it. If you are eager, like I am, to strengthen your faith, then take your next step now by joining us in today's episode.
Growing in our knowledge and understanding of God is the ultimate goal in life. Bottom line, point blank, period, right? That's why we've been spending so much time in our episodes walking through the various ways that you and I can truly grow in our knowledge and understanding of God. You know, one of the greatest ways of getting to know God in a deeper, more personal way is by practicing what we refer to as the spiritual disciplines. A spiritual discipline is an activity that you and I enter into that does this. It copies the lifestyle of Jesus. These disciplines, if you will, place us before God so that we can focus on Him. They create a time and space for us to access the presence and power of God. These disciplines open the door for us to discover God and for Him to actively work in our lives. Some examples of these spiritual disciplines would be prayer, fasting, scripture study, meditation, worship, service, solitude. As we think about solitude, this may be one of the most important, yet most difficult spiritual disciplines to practice. The practice of solitude is this, of hitting the pause button in life. You see, our lives and our current culture are not designed to go at the speed and pace that our culture goes in. It brings this fatigue, burnout, mental and physical exhaustion. It produces worry, stress, fear, anxiety, the feelings of emptiness, the feelings of purposelessness. You see, you and I have got to learn to hit the pause button consistently, and especially when we find ourselves in chaos. It is hitting the pause button that forces you and I to know God in a better way. As we come to Psalm 46, He says this, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." As we were to go down through this psalm, he begins with this, the conclusion, if you will. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." Selah. Now you see this word Selah, if you were to read the entire psalm, is mentioned three times. That is an indication for music to pause, to rest. We kind of get the idea here to pause and reflect. This is said three times, but also he says again in Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." I would say this is a psalm of pause. You see, the writer tells us to pause four different times. He tells us to be still, which means to pause. So first, hitting the pause button allows us to get to know God better. So hitting the pause button allows you and I to know God. And can I say this? Knowing God is more than just knowing facts about Him. It is to fully and personally know Him through experience. And that is a lifelong pursuit. What does it mean to know God, as it's mentioned here in Psalm 46? It means to know relationally and experientially. It's the same word that speaks of a husband and wife coming together in unity to create a child, to create oneness. So here we are to become one with God. We are to be still and become one with God, to know Him in a personal, intimate way. Who God is, what God is like, how He acts, how He relates to us. You know, there's numerous ways that you and I can know God. We can experience Him. One is nature and creation. That is general revelation. God's revelation of Himself through Scripture, second. He reveals His attributes. He reveals His name. He reveals His works, who He is in greater detail. And then we can know God through the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus was God. And so how does God, how would God, if you will, live life in 2025? We can examine the life of Jesus. That's how He would do life, how He would eat, how He would talk, how He would walk, how He would rub shoulders with people. And then we can know God through experience. By the way, God has actively worked in our lives through answered prayers, His presence, guidance, direction, how He closes and opens doors. So knowing God is more than just facts about Him, but knowing God is about being still to discover Him. You see, the key ingredient to knowing God, which is our ultimate pursuit, remember that's the ultimate goal, point blank, bottom line, period. And the active or the important ingredient is this, being still. Now, that word being still means this, to become slack. It speaks of our limbs going limp. Have you ever gone to sleep at night and woke up and your arm is buzzing, it hurts, it's falling asleep, and you try to, you know, throw your shoulder, but your arm won't move, and you have to pick your arm up and drop it and try to get it in a position where the blood can flow again. It has this idea to be still, be completely still where you can't move. It means to relax. It means to stop fighting. It means to stop and drop what you're doing, to cease, to pause, to take a break. It means to interrupt what you're doing, because you and I are busy, busy people. When you ask people, hey, how are you doing? How was your week? Busy. How's your day? Busy. And I understand we are. We're people that are busy, but sometimes we allow that word to push people away, to give ourselves an excuse that we don't have time for God because we are busy. I'm so busy. When you tell yourself that, one, you begin to tell yourself, I'm just too busy. I don't have time for X, Y, and Z. And what we're saying here is to pause in the busyness. To pause. And the beautiful thing about a pause, it is just that. It's not a stop button. When you're listening to TV or a podcast or music, you can hit those two little lines and it pauses. It stops it right where it's at, and then you can pick up when you're ready. Here we're speaking in spiritual terms. It means to pause, to reflect, to think, to meditate, to pray. It means to gather your thoughts, to regain perspective. It means to discover God, to learn about God. The verse is saying it is hard to know God in the busy and chaos. So hitting the pause button allows you and I to know God. But hitting the pause button will allow you and I to hear from God. You see, God is not heard in the chaos. Look what he says in verse number 2. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. He's like, if you can imagine the earth being just shaken, moved, and then the mountains. If you love Western North Carolina, or you love out west in Colorado and Utah and those different places that have mountains, if you can imagine them being picked up and cast into the ocean, this is unthinkable chaos. Then he goes, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Maybe you've seen a river that's flooded. We've seen a lot of flooding over the last couple years and how it's just detrimental and it roars through towns and woods and just tears everything up. This is unimaginable trials. This is chaos. And God is not heard in that chaos. And that's why he says, pause, Selah, at the very end of that, pause. 1 Kings chapter 19, we see Elijah. He's gone on the mountaintop. He's seen God do all these miraculous things. And then he finds himself running for his life. He just goes on this downward spiral of isolation and depression and suicidal thoughts. And he comes to the point of just, God, take my life. And God comes to him. And God begins to speak. And Elijah's there, and the Bible says, God's not heard in the earthquake. There was an earthquake, but God's not heard in it. There was a fire, but God was not heard in it. There was this powerful storm with the wind and the noise, and God was not heard in there. This is, represents the noises in life, the distractions, the chaos. But the Bible says, a still, small voice. That's when Elijah heard from God. That means a soft, gentle voice. Whisper. It is in great contrast to the roar and the noises of an earthquake, a fire, and a storm. It indicates the absence of any sounds. You see, the quiet was where God wanted Elijah to be. And God had to force Elijah to be there because in his unrest, in his depression, he began to get chaotic and he could not hear from God from all the noises in his head, all the noises in his life. But it was in the quiet that God could get Elijah's attention. Elijah could hear the actual voice of God, and God could direct him how he needed to direct him. What would be some noises in your life that could distract you from God or crowd out his voice? Imagine all the digital content, the scrolling on social media, the busyness, if you will, of work and family and responsibilities. Many times we'll use these as a scapegoat, if you will, of the silence. Meaning we don't want to sit in silence because we're afraid of what we might hear. We're afraid of the reality of what God might say. And so it's easier to fill our lives with noise, background noise, TV always on, music always on, something always going. But God is not heard in the busyness or the chaos, but God is heard in the silence and solitude. And so too often we fill our lives with this noise, trying to fill the void, to run away from our thoughts. The problem is we can't face the silence because it's too awkward sometimes. But did you know that Jesus in the New Testament, Jesus is God living life on earth. He had a rhythm of life. He had this consistent rhythm of retreat and return, or pause and play. You see, he would retreat from the busyness and the people and then return back to it. What was he doing? He was practicing Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. He was hitting the pause button in his life, just pausing it long enough to reset and refresh, pausing it long enough to spend time with God, to hear from Him, and then get right back to work, long enough to hear God and know God better. It wasn't that he was hitting the stop button and I can't do this and I'm walking away from it and all. He was pausing to refresh himself so that he could return. Mark 1:35 says this, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Luke 4:42 says, and when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. Matthew 14:23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. And lastly, Luke 5:15, but so much the more when there a fame abroad of him. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. A couple of things I want to pull from this briefly is this. First, you see that Jesus hit the pause button in the morning, in the middle of the day, in the evening, and when everybody needed him, when everything was so very busy. It says before day, day, evening, and then when the great multitudes came together to be healed of him. It doesn't say, but he withdrew himself. It says, and he withdrew himself. And another part I want to pull out from this is this. It says he went to a solitary place. He went to a desert place. He went to a mountain. And he went into the wilderness. All these are places that you would say are not necessarily comfortable places. He went to places where he knew he could hit the pause button and get alone with God. You see, there were many times that Jesus chose solitude, chose the pause button over people or situations. And it was this, number one, to focus on prayer. It was number two, in times of distress. It was thirdly, before making important decisions. Fourthly, to recharge after hard work. Number five, to prepare for a major task. It was all to hear from God, to get connected to God, and to make it through life. And if the Son of God needed silence and solitude, he needed the pause button to thrive in life, then you best believe you and I need it too. A pause button is just that. It's a brief pause, and then we return. It's a retreat in return. He hit the pause button, but then quickly got back to his mission. You see, it was after he hit the pause button that he could come to this conclusion. The psalm writer, that God is my refuge. He is a shelter. He is a covering place. He is the place of safety and protection, regardless of what's going on. He is my strength. He is my, watch this, very present help. I love that. Not just a help in time of trouble, but a present help. You see, you and I need to hit the pause button. If we're going to do that, how are we going to take our next step to do that? We're going to have to silence both the external noises and the internal noises. We're going to have to silence those external noises, the music, the TV, the earbuds, the phones, the scrolling, whatever it is. And we're going to have to be willing to get still and quiet. And as we do that, we're going to have to silence the internal noises, that mental chatter that never shuts up. I don't know about you, but my mind has a running commentary about any and everything. But when I can silence the outside noises and silence my mind, then I can be still and know who God is. It's not an easy task, and it starts with baby steps. Maybe it's a 5-minute pause early in the morning. Maybe it's before you get out of bed. Maybe it's while you drive to work. You turn off everything rather than listening to everything. And you pause. You're still driving, but you're mentally pausing. You're silencing the external noises. Maybe there's a place in your house. Maybe you want to go out in the woods. Maybe you're a hunter, and while you're sitting in the stand, you're looking, but you want to pause. Set aside a little time each day to practice the spiritual discipline of silence and solitude. Train your brain, but allow it to create an environment to where you can know who God is.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. If this podcast has been helpful to you, please share it with a friend or subscribe to stay up to date on the latest episodes. You can connect with Collegians for Christ online for more information and resources at cfccampusministry.com.